in November 1975. A group of 75 convicts and inmates from Saltillo Prison in northern Mexico decided to execute their plan to escape. They were sick of looking at prison bars. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. The person who was leading this group gave to the group clear directions. You will split up into groups. You will work each day, each week, each month, until we escape. We will arrive at the other side of the wall in a safe place so we can all be free. They decided to do this by digging a secret tunnel. 5 months they were doing it. 5 months later, in April 1976, that was the day they were all going to escape. They got into the tunnel. When they surfaced, it wasn't where they thought they would be. In fact, when they surfaced into a courtroom. Not just any courtroom, but the very courtroom that had sentenced them to prison. And the judge promptly sent them back. They had the wrong directions. They were going in the wrong direction. There are lots of people in life who are going in the wrong direction. The Bible says, there's a way that seems right to a man. It seems the right way. But the end is the way of death. There are Christians who are longing and aching and praying and seeking for clear direction. Direction for their life. Direction for their work. Direction for their partnerships. They long for direction. They think somehow or other they will make their plans over the epochs of time. But so often, so many people get it so wrong. The Christian poet Don Sicklesteel wrote this. He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day. But step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs the way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way. By faith, now go, walk in it. And I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, I know his grace exceeds his care. Why should I worry then or fret? The God who gave his Son holds all my moments in his hands and gives them one by one. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3 in this mantelpiece text says this in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The title, direction. We all need it, don't we? Number one, a person to trust. Number two, a path to tread. Number three, a promise to treasure. Number one, a person to trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord of heaven and earth. I love old hymns, as you know. I memorize them. How great a being, Lord, is thine, which doth all beings keep. Thy knowledge is the only line to sound so vast a deep. Thou art a sea without a shore, a sun without a sphere. Thy time is now and evermore. Thy place is everywhere. That's who to trust in life. Isn't it? A sun without a sphere. His time is now and evermore. The Alpha and the Omega. The omniscient one who knows all things. The omnipresent one who is everywhere present in all of his creation. Who fills the heavens and the earth. The omnipotent one whose power can be leaned upon. The El Shaddai, the shoulder, the almighty God. He's the person to trust in life for direction. Him and him alone. It was Augustine who said, man's heart is restless till it finds its rest in God. Knowing God. Knowing the living God. Trusting in him. That's the secret of life. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah was told by the Lord. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows the Lord. Justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. The greatest thing in the world is to know God and to put your faith and trust and confidence in him and in him alone. A person to trust. Second, we have a path to tread. It is the path of wholehearted faith and obedience. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With passion, with enthusiasm, with exuberance, with confidence, with your whole being. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. All that I am, all that I have, all that I hope to be. Lord, that is the path I want to tread, wholeheartedly trusting in you. And not only just wholehearted faith, but wholehearted obedience. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not leaning on human judgment, but upon revelation. Not the sinking sands of human speculation and ideology and philosophy, but upon what the Lord himself has told us and revealed to us. I love the story of James Hudson Taylor. I met his great-great-great-great-grandson who told me, actually, that I should go and be a missionary in China. He told me I should go and be a missionary by playing football. Be a football ministry, missionary. That's what he told me. I really wanted to go, but that wouldn't come with me. But his great-great-grandson, great-great-grandfather, should I say, had spent years and years, over 50 years in China. He wrote, "The sun has never risen over China without finding me on my knees in prayer." Staggering. He was a Yorkshire lad from Barnsley with red hair and a Yorkshire accent, going to be a missionary in China. How odd is that? But you know, he got pigtails and wore clothing and learned languages and translated the Bible. Amazing. He wrote this: Christ is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He wrote, let's give up our work. Let's give up our plans. Let's give up our self-interest, our luxuries, our pleasures. Let's give up our loved ones. Let's give up our lives. Let's give up our influence. Let's give up our all. Give it up right into God's hands. And when we've given him our all, there will be nothing left to be troubled about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. You see, as I said this morning, there is such a thing as theoretical, objective faith. Isn't it? You get out the telescope, you look into the heavens, you see the planets and the stars, you say, oh, the heavens declare the glory of God. There must be a God. You get out the periscope, put it just below the water, and see the teeming masses of fish swimming in the sea. There must be a God to trust. You get out the microscope, you look at all the complexity of the human cell. There must be a God whom I can trust. You listen to the stethoscope as the heart pumps and beats. And you say, there must be a God. That's objective faith. It's not wholehearted faith. Wholehearted faith is when we say, in our experience, in my day-to-day living, I choose to trust in him. As the first bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle, says, faith is forsaking all. I trust him. You have my all that I am, all that I have, all that I hope to be. It's yours. And I will obey, no matter what, no matter what the cost. Actually, we've been told here, haven't we, to keep his commandments, the Lord's commandments, to have steadfast love and faithfulness. We're told in verse 7 to not be wise in our own eyes, to fear the Lord, to turn away from evil. We're told, aren't we, to honor the Lord with our wealth, to be obedient to the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice. I suppose you know the story of the atheistic farmer who wrote to a newspaper, and he was ridiculing the Christians in the community. He said, I plant on a Sunday. These Christian farmers go to church. Well, I plant on a Sunday. After I've plowed on a Sunday. Then I'll cultivate on a Sunday. Then I'll gather on a Sunday. Then I'll reap on the Sunday. Then I'll box and sell my goods on a Sunday. And I've never prayed. And I've never been to church. And yet, in October, I harvested more bushels per acre than anyone else, and especially more than the God Squad farmers. Sometimes that happens in life, doesn't it? No wonder the psalmist says, we should not envy the wicked. Their day will come. Actually, the editor printed that letter, and someone wrote back this little pithy line. Could I just remind you, God does not always settle his accounts in October. It is worth trusting God. It is worth obeying God. Regardless of the consequences, regardless of the apparent setbacks, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the cost, that's the path to tread. It's the path of wholehearted faith and obedience. Thirdly, we're given a promise to treasure. And he will direct my paths. He will make straight your path. He will direct your path. He will make the way straight. That's his promise. He is the God who keeps his promise. You don't believe me? Look through the Bible. Here's God, he says to Noah, here you are, near a desert, never seen an ocean or a river, build a boat. It'll take it 120 years, that's how long it took him. Day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, week out, decade in, decade out. But God kept his promise, didn't he? Here's Abraham. He's 75 years of age. His wife says, barren. Pack up your goods. Leave Ur of the Chaldees. Go to a place which I am sending you to. You can imagine him coming home to Sarah, can't you? We've got to go. God's told me. Which God? I mean, there were thousands of them there in Ur of the Chaldees. Where are we going? I don't know. I just know that God has told us to go. Have you been drinking again, Abraham? Go. He obeyed the promise of God and went. And became a blessing to the nations of the earth. Isn't that true? Here's Joseph. He's sold into Egypt. He's falsely accused, isn't he? By Potiphar's wife, who tries to seduce him. He languishes in prison. He thinks it's all going terribly wrong. The dream that was given him at the beginning has now become a living nightmare. But God kept his promise. Here's Moses. I mean, think of him. There he is in the backside of the desert. He meets with the living God. A promise is given to him. It's not until he's 80 that he begins to see the fulfillment of God's promise. Some of you, in your silver-haired years of life, you never know. God just might have something in store, a promise he gave you years ago, he's about to fulfill. God keeps his promises. Isn't that true? He promised Joshua that the land would be given, and it was. He promised Samuel that he would lead him and direct him, and he did. He promised David that he would be anointed the king, and he was. He promised Elijah that he would provide and meet his needs, and he did. He promised Peter that if he went in obedience to Joppa, he would find something out which was going to transform the whole world. He promised the Apostle Paul he would lead him on those missionary journeys, and he did. And down throughout the ages, down to this very hour, God keeps his promises. Of course, we live in a day and generation where we're told, particularly by televangelists, that if you give $25,000 to the Resurrection Fund, God will really direct you. And his direction will be free from illness and free from pain, and free from misery, and free from setback. That is not true. It is a lie from the pit of hell itself. Almost everyone whom God guided, he guided through a pathway of pain, a pathway of tears, a pathway of setbacks and heartaches and grief. And loss. But he's still the God whose promise we can treasure. Into his hands I lay the fears that haunt me, the dread of future ills that may befall. Into his hands I lay the doubts that taunt me, and rest securely, trusting him for all. Esther's is named after Esther Creswell. I went to visit her one day. She had had a fall. Doc and Vinnie remembers this. When I went there, it was a shocking sight. Her face was absolutely black and blue. One of the sweetest ladies and toughest ladies you'd ever meet. Black and blue. She looked as if she'd done 15 rounds with Frank Bruno. What happened? I fell and bashed my face on the hearth. Shaken up. She'd already had problems with her heart, problems with her leg. She'd already lost her husband. She was already living as a widow. She said, "Promise me that at my funeral you'll sing my favorite hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. What have I to ask beside? Who could doubt his tender mercies? Who through life has been my guide?" You mean being brought up in poverty? Yes. You mean being malnourished? Yes. You mean having all your confidence shaken? Yes. You mean the heart attacks and the breakdowns you've encountered? Yes. You mean the loneliness, the bereavement, the grief, the loss, the pain, the angst? Yes. All the way my Savior has led me. And he will lead you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Listen to this. We're about to sing it. You are working in our waiting, sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. You are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and kind. You surround and you uphold me. Your promises are my delight. Even when the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. It is true. It is the whole truth. It is nothing but the truth. He will direct our paths safely to heaven. Let's stand and sing.